concrete and misnomers. The so-called hippodrome, or oval-shaped stadium, for example, is really a sunken garden, while the House of Livia did not belong to that great lady. But look more closely. Give rein to your imagination, and you will understand why the Palatine Hill gave us our word palace. It was here, on the Palatine, that Rome's first emperor planted the flag of power, and where, for centuries, most of his successors each ruled over 50 million to 60 million people. It began as a modest compound for the ruler and his family and the temple to his patron god. Then it turned into a series of ever grander domus, or houses. They were palatial estates, used not only as homes but also for imperial audiences, councils, embassies, morning salutations, evening banquets, love affairs, old and new religious rituals, conspiracies, and assassinations. In their day they bespoke magnificence. Their walls were lined with colored marbles from around the empire. Their columns gleamed with Numidian yellow, Phrygian purple, Egyptian granite, Greek gray, and Italian white. Gilded ceilings rose high over tall windows and heated floors. One banquet room seated thousands, while another revolved. Water flowed in fountains and pools fed by the Palatine's own aqueduct. Some rooms looked over the chariot races in the Circus Maximus in the valley to the south, offering a kind of skybox. Perhaps a modern night visitor to the Palatine could imagine a famous dinner party with the emperor, at which one guest said he felt like he was dining with Jupiter in mid-heaven, or a less pleasant banquet when the emperor had the walls painted black and the dining couches laid out like tombstones, leaving the terrified guests in fear of their lives, which were spared. Or we might remember the rumor that another emperor turned the palace into a brothel, a salacious but not very credible tale. We might think of the palace steps where one emperor was first hailed and another announced his abdication. We might think of the grand entrance where one new emperor's wife proclaimed her resolution not to be corrupted. Or the back door, where another emperor slinked home, barely escaping with his life from a food riot in the Forum. Or we might imagine a Senate meeting in a palace hall with the emperor's mother watching through a curtain. Or the covered passage, where a crowd of conspirators murdered a young tyrant. They all happened here. From the Palatine, the emperors ruled what they called the world, a vast realm stretching at its height from Britain to Iraq, or at least they tried to rule it. Few excelled at the grueling job. The imperial administration took care of ordinary business, but crises proved a challenge. Many emperors turned out not to be up to the task. A few did extremely well. They brought to bear in equal measure ambition, cunning, and cruelty. They brought family, too. The Roman emperors ran one of history's most successful family businesses and one of its most paradoxical. In order to concentrate power in trusted hands, the imperial family made full use of its members, including women. As a result, mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and mistresses enjoyed what some might consider a surprising amount of power. But it was sometimes an unhappy family, with forced marriages common and infighting and murder hardly rare. It was, moreover, a family whose definition was loose and flexible. More emperors came to the throne from adoption than by inheriting it from their fathers, and not a few seized power in civil war. It was both the empire's glory and curse that succession was often contested. It opened the door to talent and to violence. The first emperor, Augustus, set the tone. Adopted by the founder of the family's fortune, his great-uncle and Rome's last dictator, Julius Caesar, Augustus had to fight a civil war in order to prevail. Indeed, his wife Livia, eventually perhaps the most powerful woman in Roman history, was once a refugee in that war and had run away from the man she eventually married. The following pages tell the story of 10 who ruled. They were Rome's most capable and successful emperors, or, in the case of Nero,